In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yesterday you were told the sad reality that you are beggars. Today the news is not much better, for you are also blind. We are blind, metaphorically speaking, that is, because of being simultaneously saint and sinner, we are never safe from a darkness that falls over us and robs us of the beautiful sight of our Savior Jesus Christ and the truths about him. That darkness can only be removed by going to Christ himself and to ask him in prayer that he, through his word and sacrament, may restore the sight to us again. And that not once a year, but every day in our life. And we professors, in all humbleness I might say, play a certain role to unveil before you, in the course of these few years, the wonderful, wonderful things of theology that you have never seen before. But to remind you of your blindness, in case you should forget it, we have devised the wonderful system of exams and grades. Our two men here in the Gospel reading from Matthew are blind, and yet they are not. Physically they see nothing, but spiritually they see a whole lot, namely who Jesus Christ really is. And Jesus acknowledges that ability by restoring them to their full physical sight. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be restored to you?" Our text also reflects a common human weakness and wisdom, the inability to keep a secret. I'm sure these two blind men would have told it others like most of us would have done, only under the oath to secrecy. But when the whole world knows about that supposed secret, we act surprised, as if we would never have expected it to happen. Perhaps our Great Commission should rather have said, "Do not tell things about Jesus Christ," because our human inquisitiveness and inability to keep things to ourselves would soon bring the entire world to a knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ. But really, why should these men keep quiet here, where later on at the end of the Gospel, Christ expressly demands that people preach the good news to the entire world? I think the answer lies in the fear of misperception, that Jesus Christ will be looked upon as a miraculous healer apart from his death and resurrection. Because what Christ does in the form of healing must be modified by his suffering and death. There were in fact those during the time of Jesus, like the Pentecostals today, who see Christ purely out of the interest of seeing something miraculous performed, but who would find the thought of his suffering and death repulsive and not part of their sensationalism. These two blind men managed to combine the two aspects of Christ's ministry. Though they were with Christ before his suffering and death, they already were in this possession of trust and faith, which would not have changed much had they also known of his suffering and his death. Christ's act of healing is hailed here in this story as the most wonderful and greatest act that has ever been seen in Israel. But these miracles only touch the immediate realities of life, and not that what Christ really wants to give, the gift of spiritual healing through forgiveness and life eternal. Miracles are a testimony to his lordship and mercy, but his final mission on the cross is even more. Today, dear friends, 2 years have passed since the fateful day of September 11. It shook the nations, this country, and especially family and friends, who to this day are still seeking healing. And admittedly, that kind of healing they seek is hard to come by. Reality has it that the healing so many desire cannot be granted. Admittedly, the lost lives of their beloved will not be restored, and the fear of losing further innocent lives through terrorism continues unabated to this day. But perhaps the greatest healing friends and families of those affected by September 11 seek is to be freed from that bothersome question plaguing humanity ever since its existence. Why does God allow such an atrocious and terrible act to happen to an innocent group of people? What have we done to deserve all this? That question bothered David already in the Psalms, being smitten by the enemies of God. It plagued also Job, who stood before God righteous and innocent. And it probably also bothered these two blind men and the demon-possessed person. Why have I been stricken by these ailments while others are walking around alive and healthy? With that question, humanity confronts God himself, and we theologians struggle to unravel it. You must flee from God to God, Luther once said in response to that question. Perhaps it is a little like this, that a child runs away from his father, who is angry, to a loving mother, although both these persons embody the one and the same God. That means there are two sides to the one God who does and continues to do inexplicable things, but then also who does in Jesus Christ totally explicable and predictable things, spiritual healing through the forgiveness of sins. Only in Christ can God be pinned down and understood, while in other areas he remains hidden and the unpredictable God. Already in the crucified Christ, God himself has given us the promise that in the end he will resolve all contradictions and problems that still plague our human existence today. For in Revelations 21 verse 4, we hear that in the kingdom of God, God himself will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is how it will be one day. The question only is whether you will be part of that kingdom. For people can be healed from illnesses and torment, but still remain eternally ill and dead. Certainly, a little less illness here or there would serve us all a great deal. But Christ once more, to give the sick and the healthy, all of them eternal life, that ultimate gift which Christ wrought for us on the cross. Until then, God continues to rule the world in ways that often transgress our human understanding. Not all problems in human life will be soluble. So those suffering with heart diseases or other disabilities, he may choose to heal through the wonders of today's technology and medicine, while others, like the Apostle Paul himself, will have to remain content with that disability their entire earthly life. But to all of these alike, God brings his promise in Jesus Christ that they will be with him one day in eternity, no matter their current state of being. So what more do we really want? Even if we are not healed from physical blindness or from the losses of September 11, we may entrust ourselves to God in the consolation and comfort of a life eternal. Of course, to some of this may come as a cheap consolation that only inadequately addresses the realities of life. That may be so, but to you and to me, it is enough, for it means hope, Christian hope itself, in a life with my Redeemer, no matter in what state or condition I currently find myself in. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.